Mini episode 769 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris. We have a very special conversation coming your way today on the show where nothing is off topic. It's not very often for as many monikers as we might get to put on a conversation. It's not very often that we really get to use the word inspirational and not have it be a stretch, as great as a lot of our guests are. But today is an exception to that rule. This is going to be a very inspirational conversation that we're going to have with a very dedicated young man who has taken his change of circumstances and really, really doing a lot of great in the world. It is, of course, former Rutgers football player Eric LeGrand, who was paralyzed some years ago due to a tackle gone awry on the football field here, and just subsequently is just going all over the place, really making a difference, continuing to live his life through broadcasting with Rutgers Radio, motivational speaking, a little bit of Sirius XM as well. Author of the book Believe, My Faith, and the Tackle That Changed My Life. Additionally, his foundation, we're going to be talking about this as well, Team LeGrand of the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, where he is working to spearhead continuing research as far as paralysis and what can be done to regenerate in the spinal region here and help people like himself to reach a full recovery, God willing, in his lifetime, certainly. But again, just out there making a difference, doing so many great things in the world, and fortunately got an honor that he greatly deserved this past weekend here, and we're going to talk about that as well back in his hometown of Woodbridge, New Jersey. We're going to get into all that and much, much more with, again, a man who's really making a big difference in the world, Eric LeGrand. Eric, it's a true pleasure to have you on the show, sir, a real inspiration. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
Again, we're very, very happy to do that, and we're pleased to get the opportunity to talk to you and get your perspective on some of these issues. First of all, again, and I saw your takes on this in social media as well as some of the news coverage as well. Very, very well deserved, but the Eric LeGrand Believe Park in Woodbridge, New Jersey, the ceremony this past Sunday. Just talk about that. Put it into your own words on what that was like to have your hometown represent you, to stand up for you in really such a tangible kind of a way.
You know, that was awesome for them to do that for me. You know, just a park that I grew up in, you know, my entire life playing sports, if it was baseball, football, basketball, you know, even building bike jumps in there. You know, it's a place where we go to try to stay out of trouble, you know, and just let loose as kids and have fun. And you know, it was they're actually rebuilding that whole area up over there around it and making it even nicer than it was when I was growing up, because there wasn't really much to it, but we made the best of it. And to want them, you know, to come up with the idea for them to name it after me was just a true honor and a blessing, and I couldn't thank them enough, because that's my childhood right there.
Well, that's a great opportunity. I hadn't even thought about that, but you're right. In doing something like that, it raises the profile of the park. It gets that kind of media attention and again, potentially serves as a magnet to make improvements there. I hadn't even really thought of that side of the equation. Is there anything concrete underway as far as that goes, or is it just in the early stages of trying to leverage this to make improvements and make it a nicer place?
Well, they actually they're building a whole like new community over in that area, which is going to draw a lot more people to our town in Avenel. But the park area, they actually have two new jungle gyms in there, and the best part about it is within the next year they're installing a handicap accessible jungle gym where people in wheelchairs can actually roll up the ramp and actually have fun with, if they have any family members, relatives, kids, it doesn't matter, you know, in there you can go be in a wheelchair and be able to go have fun in the jungle gym with your kids. So I'm so excited to hear about that. And they just told me about that yesterday, so it was a little bit of a surprise.
Oh, that's awesome. That's very, very fitting with your involvement with it, with having it named after you, to be able to provide that direct kind of recreation and training and whatever for people that have the condition that can benefit from it. That's really tremendous. And, you know, in a way, in talking about your childhood there and all the time that you spent there, it really sort of now kind of represents both halves of your life, doesn't it? The before and the after, the before of when you were out there and being an athlete and being able to leverage it in that way. But now the bigger purpose in life that you have and, you know, the difference that you're making in so many people's lives and really kind of providing a legacy that's going to live on even well beyond you. The park and some of these other matters really seem like ways to just kind of cement that legacy and keep paying it forward in the way that you've inspired so many people by doing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they always say it takes a village to raise a child, and there's no truer statement than it has with my township. You know, growing up with the kids that I grew up with and the family members that helped raise me to keep me out of trouble. You know, playing with a bunch of older kids definitely got me tougher. You know, I was growing up playing the game of football for sure. And now, you know, like I said, to have a park named before me, you know, after me, for before my childhood, for all my memories there, but also to put things in there so I could actually go there and enjoy myself with my nephews and, you know, hopefully, one day with my children. And that's the reason why when I first got hurt and they were looking to rebuild a house up, I said I didn't want to leave my hometown. I want to stay in Avenel. So we knocked down my old house and rebuilt up a new house here because I didn't want to leave the people.
Absolutely. And allowing you to stick around and bathe in that kind of environment, let's just be such a wonderful thing. And I'm curious also, too, because, you know, there's a lot clearly that's being done, whether it be through the foundation, through the book that you put out there, you know, to be able to tell your story in your own words. There's a lot that's being done for other people and trying to benefit from that. But I'm curious how much it's doing for you, because in terms of the whole kind of process of coming to grips with what happened, is that a big part of what has helped you remain so positive, is knowing that you have the opportunity to give back to other people, to inspire them, to help fund research through your efforts? How big, in other words, is this a part of your own ongoing, you know, psychological recovery from what happened to you?
It's everything, you know. That's a perfect way to explain it, you know, what you just did, you know. Being able to give back, and yesterday was 6 years since my injury happened, the day of October 16, 2010. And, you know, just to reflect back on what I've been able to do, starting up a foundation, being able to write a book, you know, winning numerous awards, but feeling better than being able to go to schools and corporations and businesses and anything you think of and share my story with those people and have them look at me like, wow, like I really don't have it that bad, and make them look at life a little bit different, appreciate life a little bit more. You know, that's what it's truly all about, and getting the feedback from that, you know, from the people that reach out afterwards or even beforehand and tell me what an inspiration I am and how I help them out. That's what it's all about, you know, helping other people out in their situations, handling adversity in life and making them better people in this crazy world that we live in. So that's what it's all about, and it definitely sits at home with me and makes me want to go on with what I'm doing. And I'm going to tell you about some more business endeavors that I've started up in the future.
Is it fair to say that something like that almost sort of serves as kind of like a battery recharge? Because we all have moments where it proves difficult to get through. Frustration may get the better of us. And I'm sure with your circumstances, that still must be something you deal with a great amount there. But is that the kind of thing that helps you pass through those moments and remain positive when you can kind of reflect on this and the way that other people are looking up to you?
It's actually what the thing that gets me through the tough times, and I really don't have too many of them. I'm actually too busy to actually sometimes get down. You know, I'm always doing something here and here. Always doing something here or there. But it's actually, you know, when I do, you know, just, you know, if I feel bad for myself, I look at myself like, look what I have. What am I really complaining about? You know, I got a great family. My mom's here taking care of me. I got a beautiful house, you know, transportation, being able to go here, do this, do that, great friends, family. It's incredible when some people are bedridden. Or they can't even, they're living in a one-bedroom apartment with seven people and can't even get out of their apartment because the elevator is broken, or The people that I met over the years are on here with us today because they didn't get the proper care after the injury and they passed along. Stuff like that puts a lot of this into perspective. When I get down, it's like, really, what do I have to complain about? There's really nothing there.
Very, very well said. And I think, again, you saying that as eloquently as you just did is just proof that really nobody has any kind of excuse to succumb to self-pity. Because, again, with the fine example that you're setting for other people, right, that like that, you know, if you can push through it, other people can push through it. And obviously everyone, I think, needs to heed that example. And I know one of the things that probably also recharges you through certain times as well. I had read your story on the Player Tribune where you were talking an awful lot about your mother. And you as you mentioned her before as well, her and the other people around you, it was interesting that you said in the article because you have proved to be a source of inspiration for so many. But as you pointed out, they in turn are a source of inspiration for you.
It is. You know, my mom inspires me every day from what she's been able to do, giving up her life to take care of me, you know, and it makes me want to get better for her so she can, you know, go back to the life that she wants to live and not always have to take care of me, you know. I'm 25 years old. Me and my mom go at each other about 35 times a day. It's a lie. We're just like normal people. And it's funny because, you know, no matter how much we may argue or go at each other, 10 minutes later, we're back to normal. We always got each other's back, and we're always there for each other no matter what at the end of the day. So, you know, it's a pretty incredible relationship that we have, and just pushes me to keep on wanting to get better for her so she can go back to the life that she wants to live.
Well, that's the bond that you always want to see with mothers and sons. I'm fortunate to be able to say that I enjoyed that personally as well, and I know how much that means and how much your mom's support can really be everything to you as you're going through your life. And something that you had touched on just briefly there in terms of getting better down the road here, that was definitely one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, that, of course, with the foundation work that you're doing through the Reeve Foundation and you setting up your own entity within that, you are definitely somebody that would have some knowledge on the current state of research, where we're at on this thing. There's not a lot of information that's out in the public domain right now as far as the strides that are being made towards that and towards, I don't know if it would necessarily be regeneration of certain cells in the spine or exactly what they're working on, but what can you tell us about how that is progressing along and if they have any kind of sense of a timetable on when there might be real breakthroughs?
Well, with the Reeve Foundation, they're working on this thing called epidural stimulation, which they implant an electrical stim into your back, and it's kind of like a remote. You turn it on, and they've already tested this with four patients. They were between the ages of 25 and 35. They were all male, fairly athletic, and things like that, and they tested on them, and they were all able to regain back their bowels, bladder, and sexual function without the stim being on, but after the surgery, and then able even to stand in the walker and things like that. And when we found that out, we're like, wow, they started, it's called the Big Idea Initiative, and this is actually going now into 36 patients. So we're trying to raise $15 million to implant 36 more patients. And now we're going to do male, female, older, younger, athletic, non-athletic, to see what we really have here. But the only thing truly that's holding us back is funds, is raising the money and getting awareness out for people to actually see this. So people can honestly just go to Reeve. It's www.bigideareeve.org and be a part of this. And just Google Reeve Big Idea, and it's going to pop up all the information you need right there. But funds are the only thing that is holding us back from doing clinical trials and helping us find a cure for this.
Oh, that's excellent. I'm so glad you mentioned the specifics of it because, again, people have such an interest in these matters and what's being done and what they can do to help in a very tangible kind of a way. So that is really awesome that people can do that. Yes, if they just go through those steps, and, again, that you're right. I just tried it now. It pops up right on Google there with Reeve Foundation and Big Idea, and people should definitely be looking on that. Something I want to ask you about as well here in your capacity as an analyst. I am speaking to you from another part of Big Ten country, as it were, in Cleveland, Ohio, I go to a couple Ohio State games, every year. So my dad's an alum. I apologize for what they did to Rutgers a few weeks ago here. But what kind of a sense are you getting with Rutgers? Obviously, it's much more daunting since they went to the East-West realignment, and you're looking at a permanent situation of being in the tougher division there. But obviously, the move was made to bring them into the Big Ten economically, and it did what it was supposed to do in that sense with Maryland and Rutgers opening up the East Coast, and it's worked in that sense. But what's your medium to long-term sense with the program and their prospects for eventually getting to a point of being able to contend for the East title?
Well, now that you know what the recruits, you can tell them you're going to be playing against the best teams in the country, week in and week out, especially with Ohio State and Michigan, at the top of the Big Ten, and with Urban Meyer and John Harbaugh, they're doing amazing jobs over there. So it's a pretty, good setup play for recruits, and getting these New Jersey kids to stay home. I think Chris Ashley's doing an incredible job with them. You'd never know until signing day, but the recruiting class he has together, I believe, is the top 25 recruiting class in the nation, and finally getting these top Jersey kids to stay home, like the number one wide receiver, Bo Melton, committed to us. The number five running back in the whole East Coast committed to us. Number one offensive tackle, Mika Clark, committed to us. Amir Mitchell is a transfer from Michigan last year, was the number one receiver in New Jersey last year. The number one quarterback. You get these guys to start staying in and year out. That's when you start making successful teams. And Chris Ash will be the first to say it. The reason why Ohio State is so successful, yes, they can recruit nationally, but they keep their main guys, their top 10 guys in the state, home each and every year. And that's how you build a program. And Chris Ash, he has everything laid out in front of him. He knows the foundation that he needs. And I know they're struggling this year because he's putting in a new system. But for I believe, you give him a few years, it's going to start to prosper. You just planted a seed right now. You planted a seed, and you're not seeing it. You may not be seeing anything, any progress. And the lobbies may be getting their hope down. But watch when that seed starts to grow and prosper, and you're like, wow, look what I stumbled upon on. And I believe Coach Ash and their staff know what they have here in New Jersey if they can get these guys to stay.
Well, you mentioned a very intriguing thought there, and I want to follow up on this because in some ways it puts me in mind of what Tom Herman has done at Houston and the whole thing there. And obviously, again, Houston is a huge high school football market, but the whole thing of put a fence up around the city, keep them there, that's been a big part of their very quick resurgence that they've done. Now, obviously, again, college football, especially the northern part of the eastern seaboard, not a very big thing here, but you start looking at a lot of the high school programs around there. I'm wondering, what do you think, how absolutely impactful this can be? You're talking about New Jersey. I'll throw New York City into the mix, points north of New York, perhaps a little bit, maybe west of that. You start getting into New York State. If you can throw up a regional fence around there and really kind of establish Rutgers as a program that is a real magnet for these kids, how impactful can that be in your estimation if they can succeed at that?
Oh, it's huge. You just look what Jim Harbaugh is doing coming in here every year with Paramus Catholic, hiring their old head coach, then holding satellite camps at Paramus Catholic. Then New Jersey, it's a small state, but we got great football. I know always people talk about California, Texas, and Florida, but you think New Jersey, as small of a state we are, we got the Don Bosco Preps, the St. Peter's Preps, the Paramus Catholics, the Bergen Catholics. We can figure our prep schools here, you can play with anybody in the country. So you get a lot of those guys that are playing at these schools here. As you said, you can put a little fence around, you get the ones from, Brooklyn, New York City, Connecticut, a little bit into PA. You make that little fence around that, it's gonna be a little problem. There's a lot of great football here that can win. So I'm hoping this is what Coach and staff are doing. People are realizing that. I think the 2017 class actually realizes that too.
Very well said. And of course, there's nobody that can really speak on something like that than somebody that's been through the system, been through the area. And of course, that being, where you came from as a player, I'm not surprised that you're able to speak so well on that. And again, that's more insight than I would have had, certainly from the outside looking in. And yeah, if they can do something like that, if they can basically serve as that kind of a powerful magnet, keep the kids home, that's always the first step towards becoming a national program and being able to go outside of that a little bit more. So that will be very interesting to see in the years to come. I know additionally, Eric, that at teamlegrand.org, that is, of course, another hub that people can find information about everything you've got going on, as well as, of course, your Facebook presence, which is very robust, and then, of course, also on Twitter, at EricLegrand52. People should check that out as well. But, yeah, of course, there is the project that you referenced going on with the Reeve Foundation there, the big idea, and obviously that's a big thing to push. Anything else you'd like to get out there as far as projects going on, things that you'd like to shine a spotlight on?
Yeah, I actually started my new biggest endeavor called Mission Possible. It's, you know, going to, it's people living in the face of adversity, and me being the host using my platform to share their story. So using going into people with different, you know, disabilities and giving them the platform to finally share their story out in the world. And we partnered up with Fox Sports, actually. And you can, people can go to foxsports.com/missionpossible to see our first episode that we put up there. But it's a series. We did 6 digital shorts that are 4 minutes long on 6 different stories. And it's all about, like I said, me sharing my platform with them to uncover their stories, but also add a little niche to it, bring something, you know, cool at the end of each episode. Like the one episode, I took a girl to prom, and I'm wearing Michael Strahan's suit, and we get him on the phone, and he showed, you know, just talks to me about a little bit about the suit and getting involved with the show. Then we went down to Miami, did an episode with a Miami Wheelchair Heat wheelchair basketball player, and we brought him in. He met some The Rock at the Ballers premiere. He got to meet one of his favorite rappers, Ace Hood, there. And then also we did a story recently with Triple H in SummerSlam, where we got this kid, Rohan Murphy, who was born with a deformed leg and had to get him amputated at the age of 4 years old. And he went on to become an all-state wrestler in Long Island and wrestled at Penn State with no legs. And we brought him around Triple H in SummerSlam working out at the WWE headquarters, things like that. So people can go to foxsports.com/missionpossible. And the episode that we have up right now is a Boston piece that will bring you to tears, I promise you. It's an incredible piece, and I hope everyone will go check that out.
That is truly incredible, the range of things you mentioned there. And absolutely, the series at foxsports.com is definitely something that sounds like people should really be checking out to keep up with everything that's going on. And as I said at the outset, Eric, a true pleasure and an inspiration to get to talk to you, hear some about your story. And again, it just is a constant thing for you with all these projects and all the work that's being done. So definitely would love to check back in with you and see how things are progressing as we move forward. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Hey, thank you for having me on. And like I said, just hopefully people will join the big idea with the Reeve Foundation and give 5.6 million people out there that deal with some type of paralysis some hope that one day there will be a cure for this injury. And also check out my new endeavor on FoxSports.com/missionpossible.
That's right. That's right. Going to make it happen, I believe, with projects like that, and that people can get behind with the funding. That is really, really amazing. Once again, thank you so much for your time, Eric. We appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for checking out FDH Lounge mini episode number 769.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.